Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclico's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclico Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
Mark, do we have a special offer for our listeners?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's still use the 2022 half off. And you go to VRTrader.com. I get 50% off any of the newsletters you choose, and we have a whole bunch of them. I also want to make a disclaimer that I do publish the newsletter and have for one form or another for 43 years, but I am not a financial advisor, nor do I provide financial advice.
The name of the game, has it changed? We've had politicians all around the planet saying, oh, climate change, we got about electric vehicles. Now, with the conflict between Russia and Ukraine and energy supplies around the planet being squeezed or possibly threatened, has energy become the name of the game? Survival today, we can worry about 50 years from now,
Well, no question about it. I mean, you know, we still need the energy and the stupidity among the people at Davos and the World Economic Forum put us into greater jeopardy if we listen to them and the global warming scenario. And, you know, many are suffering already by the short-sightedness there. We do need all forms of energy. And, you know, I can see everyone supporting each other. I mean, you know, there's no reason to get rid of fossil fuels. You can complement that with nuclear and with solar and geothermal and, you know, you can use coal. You can just use a bunch of everything. I mean, there's a lot of ways of keeping the atmosphere cleaner and providing all the energy we need. But, you know, money is driving the whole thing. I mean, the ridiculous comments that you heard from Senator Kenneth Kerry on one of the broadcasts that I heard. I mean, he starts ranting and raving, money, 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 money. I mean, you know, the guy, you know, comes from a money background. He's married to the ketchup queen. The bottom line is, I've heard, I don't know if you've been listening to a lot of the presenters there, but I just think it's global mental illness. And unfortunately, these people have a lot of money. A lot of them flew in jets, you know, using a lot of carbon coming in when they're supposed to be carbon conscious and be more environmental. So, you know, Al Gore is probably the worst of them. And, you know, I can use stronger terms than that. Been dead wrong about all his forecasts. I mean, the planet is a planet, and it's going to have climate change and polar shifts and glaciers and, you know, there's all going to be a movement of the continental shelf and all the things that happened over millions and millions of years. But, you know, a lot of these things have happened, and there's been a lot of destruction on the planet when man was not here. And it's not only man that's involved in the condition of our atmosphere and our resources. So, you know, it's carbon credits, the money that could be made by the conversion to these other technologies. But, there's no question about that being a big driving force. I don't think they love the planet that much. I think they're putting money in their pockets. They want more control over our lives, which is what the whole World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab is all about. And it's, I don't think it's going to succeed. I think ultimately people are going to stand up, particularly like the Democrats in this country are saying, well, you can't have natural gas in your house now. You can't have a gas range. That's bad for you. It's going to kill you. Well, it really turns out, as you know, the question of ventilation, it's not a question of the gas in the house, and, you know, they come up with these things. It's like you're in a dreamland, Jim. You know, you hear these stories, you hear their attacks on our ways of life, the things that we do, and you just can't believe it's being said. So it's definitely global mental illness at stake. I mean, there's an expression that Michael Savage came up in his book more than a decade ago, you know, mental illness, liberalism is a mental illness. I mean, it really comes down to that, whether it's nutritional deficiency that causes it. I guess it's the background, people that surround you, the inability to study facts, or just be aligned to a group of people that you believe are always right, whether they're right or not. I mean, thank God we have a new head of the Disney company who is rejecting the woke nonsense, and Governor DeSantis in Florida, they rejected the woke nonsense, which is all part of the same mental illness. I mean, you can take, drive it from the World Economic Forum to our daily lives, what's going on out there. I think ultimately most people are going to stand up for their rights, and they want their guns, they want their natural gas, they want the things that we're used to, and if there's going to be a transition, it'll be a slow one, it'll take more time. I'm bullish on, and have been, on oil, crude oil. I think it's going to go higher, a lot higher. I think I made a prediction a couple of years ago, mean even as high as $300 or $400 a barrel is possible. I'm not saying right away, but the next few years. And you just got to use your common sense about how the world runs. I mean, the world's not running on EVs or on solar. It's running on fossil fuels, most of the world. And though they may be doing some conversions, it's going to take time. But you're never getting rid of it altogether. You and I have talked about this many times, right? You need oil to produce other products. So many things that come out of crude oil, I think, for fuel, for gasoline, and so forth, I think is a small fraction of what the crude oil is ultimately used for. Look at the highways being paved by crude oil products, even the environmental products, the solar panels, the windmills, I mean, all the technology, the cars themselves have components that come from the need for fossil fuels. And we're not even discussing, you know, rare earth and other needed elements to produce these things, you know, ranging from palladium, platinum, lithium, iridium, going on the list, all these things. And, you know, the attack on mining and the pollution that mining creates, well, without the mining, you won't be able to produce all these things. So, you know, we're just sitting here jawboning about the whole thing. I mean, ultimately, people listening to this broadcast, we're trying to figure out, well, how do we make some money? And how do we protect ourselves financially, you know, with all this nonsense? And that's what we try to do in our specific recommendations. I mean, in the market itself, you know, we went short two, three days ago because we hit a resistance level in the market. And I have a lot of reasons, you know, but we just got way overbought. There's just too much optimism out there about the market, but we can get into that when you have time here.
We have time.
Well, you know, the market rally from last September really is perfect for fooling investors and, in my opinion, destroying the last bulls. And I think, you know, the next decline, and maybe it's already started, could be more severe because this time money managers are using hope and cross fingers. They're also coming out and saying, well, you know, it's dangerous to be in the market. Maybe you should buy treasury bills and bonds and so forth, which I agree with. But what that does is it pulls money out of the market. You know, people can make 3%, 4%, 5% or whatever. Some bonds are paying 4.75%. I think treasuries are the safer one. Well, this is money that would have gone into the stock market, which won't go into the stock market. So managers are sort of shooting their own, shooting themselves in the foot, by being defensive, because then people will say, why should I take risk when I can get guaranteed returns, you know, from government, bonds or treasury bills and so forth. So, you know, we're just in a, bear market, and we've had our rallies, and, you know, the Fed has said nothing about changing its course on interest rates. So they say some people are hoping it'll be slower or they're going to reverse. Frankly, I think, inflation is even stronger because the dollar is weak. As the dollar is weak, that increases the inflation factor. And that means, people, you know, are going to spend less, and it's going to cost more. And it's just not a, you know, positive scenario, but it's one you can make money with. I mean, you could be, you know, long crude oil, or you could be short the indexes. I think how many times I've said, just buy inverse ETFs and sit back. And you can go long the S&P, but you can also go short the S&P by buying an inverse ETF. Why do you only have to go long the market? So I think you're going to see, personally, over time, much lower prices. But, you know, we're still watching that crazy January barometer. When I say crazy, because everybody has been talking about it recently. I've been following it for 40 years, and Yale Hirsch created the thing. The first 5 days of the year were positive, so that was a positive warning that, but positive indicator that prices could go higher for the year, but you need the net at the end of January to be higher than the close of December to get a confirmed buy signal for the year. And, you know, when we get to the end of January, we'll see what happens. You know, I write about things in my newsletter, like, we've got, the Groundhog Day coming up February 2nd. Well, you know, I've written about this for the longest time. You know, within 2 weeks of the Groundhog Day, could be right now or 2 weeks after, the market tends to have a big sell-off. So if it's earlier, and it seems we've started that direction now the last few days, that's going to create a negative January barometer. But it also, you know, creates the buying opportunity if we sell off a lot just for traders. But we're in this sort of, you know, negative period here from year to year into late January, February. So traders got to watch that. Should affect not only the market indicator for the January thing, but I was just bringing it up because it's being so widely quoted. And it wasn't for many, many years. I mean, I would write about it and nobody would even pay attention to it. And now it's all over the place. So, you know, too many people follow one indicator, you know, that's usually the end of it. So maybe this is the year. It won't work. We'll find out. But, you know, I don't want to get carried away here, Jim. I mean, you know, we're flexible if things change. We went long the inverse ETFs for a nice trade 2-3 days back. And, you know, on paper for the newsletter, you know, we made the right call. We also have, you know, the vernal equinox coming up, you know, March of 2021. And there have been many years where that becomes a big low in the market. You know, not every year, but, you know, we saw some classic examples in recent years of that time frame being a low period. So, you know, if we sell off here and bounce a little bit, we're still in this first quarter where, you know, the market could, it looms ahead and it could be a problem. So we're paying attention to that. And, you know, we look at a lot of other short-term stuff, but, there's not much you need to do out there right now. I think you gotta be on the sidelines. You gotta be in treasury bills. You gotta be short the market. I think energy is still a place to be. Gold and silver are probably still okay. I'm not as excited about them now as I was a few weeks ago, but if we can clear that 2070 level based in U.S. dollars, then you're going to have a much bigger surge. And it was gold over 1900. I mean, we're not that far away that it could take off, but you got to watch the U.S. dollar, which continues weak, which is triggering more inflation. And, you know, maybe, you know, each dog has its day, and maybe we're going to see, an explosion in the more of a move to the metals than we've already seen. But for me, the key is still that big 2070 level from the last 2 years where we had a double top formation. So let's watch that and having some fun just watching the idiocy that we hear on the television and radio with that Davos meeting. So that's where we're at.
That's right. The World Economic Forum is meeting in Davos, Switzerland this week. And of course, their goal for 2030 is for you to own nothing and be happy about it.
Right. I think people really understand that. I mean, they hear, you know, all these politicians, you know, talking about a new world order and how we need to do things better. And everybody's tongue is sticking out. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sounds great. But they don't realize that the ultimate goal is to take away your personal freedom and your assets and just, you know, take control of your lives and create a total socialistic, Stalinist type environment. I mean, it's essentially, that's their goal.
But Mark, you know, the very people talking that way, they're billionaires. So
right.
Obviously they don't plan to have their wealth taken away and them live in a standard concrete box the same as everybody else. You know, does Bill Gates plan to live in a 600 square foot or 500 square foot apartment like we're seeing in urban centers like Vancouver? Expensive condos, 500 square feet. I think my king-size bed is almost bigger than that.
Well, the basic view is that, you know, the rich people or the people that are at these conferences know everything. Everyone else is, you know, ignorant about what they should be smart about, which they're not, you know, they're not. And, they want to control everything. You're right. They got the billionaires. Of course, there is an exception. Elon Musk criticized the Davos event and came out with a very pertinent comment. I don't have the exact wording, but, you know, essentially saying what we're saying, that it's, the playground for the rich. It's irrelevant, to reality. And, he's the wealthiest man in the world or the second wealthiest man in the world. So that's one of the reasons I admire him, because he is straightforward and has been really insightful in so many instances up to this point. So, you know, he's not in agreement. And, you know, the Bill Gates of the world, we know they've been destructive in many ways. They were indirectly or directly promoting depopulation of the planet. You know, all these essays that were written before COVID came out, and he was part of it. And it's just, you know, crazy out there. I'm not saying there aren't too many people around the world, but we certainly have the technology to feed them all and take care of our needs. And, so, you know, I don't know what their goals are, control of the planet, and they feel they're going to take it over. I don't think it's going to happen, because unfortunately we have people like, Putin, who's out there, who wants to stand independent, who doesn't want to be told, you know, what religion or what economic, system he should be under, or whether he should recognize gay people or the woke movement. He's, you know, a very independent guy, fortunately, even though he's done a lot of negative things, and I'm not, you know, praising him for the negatives, but I'm just saying his philosophy. And that's one of the reasons why the West wants to get rid of Putin. I mean, really, they just want to get rid of him because he stands for independence against the World Economic Forum and their beliefs. So in a way, it's unfortunate, you know, you got to pick who your friends and allies are. Sometimes your enemies are your best friends in certain situations. Unfortunately, Putin is standing as an ally to my belief that, you know, we need to be independent and not be told what to do. So, you know, there are obviously better ways to accomplish his goal up than as of this point. But, you know, unfortunately, the war wasn't, I believe, totally his fault. I think they were looking for war and they wouldn't cooperate with him. But we can get into a whole other discussion about that. He just wanted, you know, no nuclear weapons on his borders. He didn't want NATO on his borders, and all these things could have been compromised. But, you know, the West, and I know I'm getting off on a tangent, but, you know, the U.S., like sending a military support over there, and the Democrats who've been attacking Russia for the longest time, with or without Donald Trump, just want to get rid of him, thinking that's their roadblock to taking over the world. I mean, get rid of Russia, but I don't think China's going to agree with that either, Jim. I don't think China, you know, has any idea that the World Economic Forum controls them, unless they take charge of the World Economic Forum. They're in charge. So I guess China, in a way, could be an ally of ours as well, and against the World Economic Forum because of their independence and their desire to control the world. So real interesting times out there. I mean, I don't think the World Economic Forum is going to succeed. So, and all these rich people that are there, that are flying in their jets, they're just mentally ill. That's where I'm at.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, what's going on the cryptocurrency front?
Well, when everything was seeming to be the worst, things turned a little bit. One of the big companies in that space, Coinbase, is looking to be acquired. That was all over the news today. I mean, they actually make money. I mean, I think they made $50 million or something last year, despite the fact that all the cryptos came down. But they're the platform where you can execute your trades. It's also interesting that, you know, the SEC doesn't recognize Bitcoin as a security, that it's a commodity, which means it could continue on. And I have this 3-year projection that it's going to get up to about 88,000. And as you know, this past week or so, it rallied from $15,000 to $21,000 a coin. So just when everybody thought it was going to go to zero, it had a rally. We traded it a little bit via the Bitcoin Trust, which is a stock you can trade, GBTC, that we weren't in it today, but we did make some money in it on the rally, thinking that it was oversold and due for a bounce. And it's probably a good long-term play because if the SEC is not going to touch them and Bitcoin can continue, I think it's a stable commodity. I mean, it's been around. Businesses use it for currency, for a business transaction. So if you take a 2-3 year perspective, I think that Bitcoin is okay. Now, what's going to happen to Ethereum and XRP and Dogecoin and Dogecoin and all the others? It's just a matter of time. You know, if they're being used in commerce and companies accept them for payment, I mean, they're viable. It's a viable currency, whether the government likes it or not. Biggest fear is what the crazy government's going to do and try to digitize everything and take away our money in the banks and convert everything to a digital currency, which we keep hearing is being tested and on and on and on. But bottom line is, you know, I like the Bitcoin. I don't know if all the other currency, you know, all the other cryptos are going to survive. Probably most of them won't. And I see them as trading vehicles. I guess you can hold a few Bitcoins the way you suppose you could own a few coins of gold just because you want to have your have a diversified portfolio, but I don't think it's over for the crypto world, and particularly with the Bitcoin itself. There's still that lawsuit pending between the SEC and Ripple regarding the XRP coin, because they were challenging them that they really should have been a security and they violated the law. But if somehow Ripple prevails in that lawsuit, you know, that could give another boost to the cryptos here as well. So we'll have to wait and see how that all plays out.
Mark, anything of interest happening on the geocosmic front?
Funny you should bring it up. So there was a $858 billion defense bill that was signed into law by Biden, and it had some unprecedented legislation in it regarding unidentified anomalous phenomenon, which is UAF. You know, nice way of calling them UFOs, right? So we know what's going on. So in this bill, which covered all kinds of stuff about requirement that Air Force personnel be vaccinated against COVID and on, just, you know, interesting stuff in there. But the most interesting part of it is there was a clause in there regarding the, I'm trying to get the exact phrasing for you, in the Defense Intelligence Statement that, where they characterized UAP or UFO related language, and it was mentioned that essentially anybody who wanted to come forth and say things about the UAPs or UFOs can now do it without fear of retribution from the government. In other words, you know, whistleblowers could start coming out about it, and it was in this bill, and it was sort of buried in there, so, they refer to it in the bill, you know, UAF, and they've been accounted by the military. So there's going to be hopefully more transparency now because of that clause in that defense bill about, you know, the ability for those who want to talk or say something, apparently they can now do it. So, you know, one of the things I've been writing about in the letter is that one of the things I expected in 2023 was that we're going to see some extraterrestrial real or false flag event. Something's going to happen. And I can't really put my finger on it. You know, I'm a firm believer that there's a secret space program that we're at, and we could talk about all kinds of stuff, that we already have a base on the moon. I believe we already have one on Mars. Our technology is far ahead of what they've been telling us for decades. Much of this comes from reverse engineering, either alien craft or something that we created that is so far advanced that nobody wants to talk about, but these UAPs are flying everywhere. They could be our own secret space program vehicle, not necessarily extraterrestrial, but I just have this feeling that there's going to be some type of event, and whether 50 of these things fly over Washington, D.C. the way they did in 1952, if you remember, there was these big flyover of UFOs, and they were on radar in 1952, and there was a big event back then, and they sent jets up to try to find them. You know, where these vehicles came from then. Were they Nazi vehicles from the war? Because Nazis had advanced technology. There's a lot of discussion about, and have been, not discussion, but actual proof of the base, operation Nazi base down in Antarctica, that things were developed down there, and maybe the flights that came in 1952 were related to those type of vehicles that were in existence at that time, which have made no relationship to the vehicles we're seeing now, or maybe they do. So I think the biggest event out there. I mean, you know, we're looking at World Economic Forum. We're looking at Ukraine. We're looking at when Taiwan's going to be invaded by China. We're looking at what the Federal Reserve is going to do and not do. We're looking at all these events that are happening on our planet, not to mention the COVID event. I still believe and have stated that the biggest event on our planet in our time is the extraterrestrial event, and whether it's our own craft that are up there, because if it's our own craft, we are so advanced that it's a tragedy. It's like you have a cure for every disease or starvation on the planet, and you're holding it in your hand, but you withhold it from everybody because it gives you power and control. If I'm correct, and we are indeed traveling the universe now with these advanced craft and have our base on the dark side of the moon, and I believe we have a base already on Mars, it's really a tragedy. It's a question of the secrecy of the government and those who want to control us and maintain power. So this legislation that came through is sort of a glimmer of light, in a way, of whether people are going to step forward, as some have already. The famous fellow out of Area 51 who stood up and said that they're re-engineering craft out of Area 51. He's been all over the press for the last 30 years. I don't want to mention his name, but it's all over the Internet if you look it up. Maybe some more whistleblowers will step forward, or maybe they'll try to silence it by trying to intimidate us in some way. But there's definitely more sightings, more things going on. And, you know, a lot of people argue, there's a lot of discussion about. So I've been in this for 40 years. I mean, this is like the stock market. Ever since I was a kid, I studied this and read every book on the subject, met a lot of people who had personal encounters, even though a fellow who produced a major motion picture regarding this event, and heard a lot of very interesting details when they did research into it. There's some real interesting things going on, and this is really the biggest story of our time. And it's being downplayed because the power that those who control this technology have really want to keep it apparently to themselves, so hopefully don't want to use it for some negative purpose, or maybe they do, and you know, we'll only find out in time. So anyway, let's see what happens this year. I just got sort of intuition about something's coming, and I think it should be really interesting. You got to keep an open mind out there, because we know government lies to us. They cover up secrets. They don't tell us things that have happened. We have to get the Freedom of Information Act out to find out things that happened decades ago. And for anyone to believe that what I'm saying is not true is as extraordinary as saying it is true. In other words, it could be just equally as powerful. And I believe there's big things ahead for us. I hope I live long enough to see all of this, but I believe it could be coming sooner rather than later. So let's see if that Defense Act that got passed and the legislation in there frees up some information that we're long overdue in receiving.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
I enjoyed it very much. Have a great weekend. Thanks for the interview.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.